Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host. Today I'd like to share with you a scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, which says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." This scripture tells us that we need to keep on keeping on. We need to continue to be steadfast, immovable in our faith. We need to do the disciplines every day that we need to continue our spiritual life. We need to pray. We need to read the scriptures. We need to apply the scriptures to our lives. We need to apply our scriptures to the situation where we find ourselves. And we need to always be Christ-like, speaking the truth in love. And we need to abound in the work of the Lord, doing the things that God wants us to do His will. And it says at the end of the verse, there's a great promise. It says, knowing that our labor is not in vain. We're actually rewarded for our faithfulness. We're rewarded when we do things in the name of Christ. We're rewarded when we are able to share the gospel and see fruit. The Lord watches over, He protects, He helps, and He draws us close to Himself each day. And He allows us to represent Him here on earth. We are so blessed to be brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, and will be rewarded in the future for our faithfulness.
Clouds arise and tempests blow thy order from thy throne, while all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care.
And everywhere that man can be, thou God art present.
This is Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, sharing updates from the mission field. This week on Mission Moments, we will focus on Mission Go's continued direct outreach of the gospel and its efforts to build local Christian churches worldwide. I want to share a new gospel ministry outreach to an exceptional language group as part of Canada National Bible Hour and Mission Go Radio Truth Broadcasting Outreach. Swahili, also known as Kiswahili, is spoken by millions in East Africa and beyond. It is estimated that there are approximately 75 to 100 million speakers of Swahili worldwide. Swahili is widely spoken as a first or second language in countries like Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Rwanda, and Burundi. It is also used as a lingua franca in Mozambique, Malawi, Zambia, and the Comoros Islands, as a significant language in East Africa, and its use of trade, education, and communication. Swahili's growing importance and influence is a trend we should all be aware of, both within Africa and internationally. Additionally, there are Swahili-speaking communities in immigration populations around the world. Please pray for the Lord's guidance and support for this new and vital ministry. Radio Uhai Life Radio, Tanzania. This is a Christian radio station in Tabora, Tanzania. Established in 2017, it broadcasts locally and globally through online radio 24/7. Mission Go leadership has now vetted it and officially approved it as our ministry of discipleship and local church planning for this language group. Through this faith-based programming, the station aims to promote spiritual growth, provide education, foster community development, and, most importantly, spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Its goal is to be a beacon of hope and inspiration for its listeners by broadcasting content that uplifts, educates, and informs. The broadcast will reach in Tabora region in Tanzania, which is over 300,000-500,000 households. Because of the internet radio, we will reach 500,000 to 700,000 people worldwide. Because it is an online radio program and a local broadcast, it also reaches Swahili speakers in Tanzania, Kenya, DRC Congo, Canada, the USA, and Europe. These Swahili speakers live as refugees who have moved to other areas of the world. Thus, they are hungry to hear information in their home language. If you would like to support this gospel outreach to this language group, pray for MGO Swahili, and any direct gifts can be marked MGO Swahili. Thank you for listening to Mission Moments. This month, we would like to make available a booklet about prayers that make a difference in our adult children's lives. Career choices, sense of purpose, and important decisions, health, marriage, and vital relationships. Financial struggles, emotional trials, and walk with God. Each prayer also includes a scripture verse to reflect on through your day. To order your copy of the booklet, The Power of Praying for Your Adult Children, written by Stormy O'Martin, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, zip code L2R7A7, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Visit www.missiongo.org or email us at tjcampbellmissiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers.
His name is wonderful, Jesus. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He.
Today's message is from the Honorable Ernest C. Manning and is from his series entitled Learning to Read the Handwriting on the Wall. I know that you'll enjoy this message very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
As a background for our next three or four talks, may I direct your attention to the historical record of the last days of Belshazzar, one of the ancient rulers of the Empire of Babylon. The account is recorded in the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 5. It is a fascinating story that has a significant application to national and international affairs in this 20th century. Because time on these broadcasts is at a premium, I'll read only the highlights of the story, but I do hope you'll read the whole account for yourself in Daniel chapter 5. Here are the highlights. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, drank in them, and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing, and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. This is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then the Holy Spirit adds this postscript. In that night was Belshazzar the king slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom. In this new series, I'd like to talk to you about crises. or learning to read the handwriting on the wall. Now, most of you faced at least one or more crises in your own life or in the life of your family. Even if it was a long time ago, I'm sure you still remember the stress and trauma and the impact the experience had on you and the others who were involved. Or you may be one who's going through a crisis right now. If so, I hope we could help you. During the past 2 years, thousands of Canadians and their families have faced economic and emotional crises precipitated by the loss of jobs and incomes, or the collapse of their business, or perhaps the loss of their home. Many were caught by surprise, either because they did not see or could not read the handwriting on the wall. During the 70s, jobs had been plentiful and reasonably secure. Scores of new businesses sprang up and were successful. Many people came to assume that this was the way it would continue to be. Some overextended themselves and in the process accumulated heavy burdens of debt. There was a tendency to ignore the importance of cost-effectiveness in the operation of businesses. Many people developed costly lifestyles and mortgaged their future in order to have and enjoy what they wanted now. Governments and politicians vied with one another for political support by promising a multiplicity of state services with little regard for the built-in cost escalation factors which inevitably would lead to serious financial problems down the road. As a result, every government in this country now is faced with pyramiding costs and staggering deficits with no relief in sight. I'll have more to say about this as we develop the theme of this series of talks. The point I want to make now is that as a result of these circumstances, a set of conditions developed in the last 2 years that has precipitated economic and financial crises for thousands of individuals and families and businesses, as well as for governments in this and other countries of the industrialized world. I want also to emphasize that while the severity of the current recession caught many by surprise, for some considerable time, handwriting had been appearing on the wall, warning that trouble was coming. Unfortunately, most ignored it or were unable to read and decipher its message. In the light of these circumstances, surely we do well to examine what the inspired scriptures tell us about crises and how we can learn to read the handwriting on the wall. It is becoming increasingly clear that the attitudes and thinking and decisions of many people today are being influenced, often negatively, by the belief and fear that a major world crisis is imminent. Their concern too often becomes morbid pessimism that feeds on itself and infects those with whom they come in contact. This is a serious matter that needs to be faced. To this end, we should examine and learn from the valuable lessons taught by the great crises humanity has experienced in the past. If we wait to learn from our own experience, it may be too late not only for us as individuals, but for humanity as a whole. In other words, it is important for all of us to learn in advance what we should do and how we should live in the shadow of an approaching crisis. What should we do as individuals and as families? What should business leaders and political leaders and governments do when the handwriting appears on the wall? Broadly speaking, crises may be divided into three major categories. There are personal crises, that is, crises experienced by individuals and families. It could be an emotional crisis, such as the breakup of a marriage or a home or a parent-child relationship. It could be a severe illness or the loss of a loved one, or it could be a financial or economic crisis, such as the loss of a job or a home, or the failure of a business. It could be a spiritual crisis. Sometimes something serious goes wrong in a Christian's spiritual life that impairs his personal relationship with God and Jesus Christ and robs him of the joy and assurance of his salvation. Such crises can be very severe. Another category is national crises. They may be precipitated by military invasion from without or by civil war and strife within. They may be economic or financial crises, such as in times of severe economic recession. They may stem from natural disasters, such as famine or widespread devastation by floods or earthquakes. They may be political, such as the collapse of inept governments or bankruptcy of political leadership. The third category is international or world crises, such as would be precipitated by a nuclear holocaust or the collapse of the world's economic and financial systems. When we read the pages of Holy Writ, we soon discover that the history of major crises extends all the way back to the dawn of the human race. The fall of Adam and Eve, notwithstanding the perfect environment of their Edenic paradise, was an unparalleled crisis in that it alienated the human race from God and infected human nature with the virus of sin. The consequences changed the entire course of history and are at the root of every human problem and affliction humanity has endured from that day to now. The universal flood in the days of Noah was another crisis of world magnitude that wiped out all but 8 members of the human race. Ancient Egypt faced a major national crisis when 7 years of economic prosperity were followed by 7 years of devastating famine in the days of Joseph, and again when the unprecedented 7 plagues swept the land, leading to Israel's deliverance from 400 years of slavery under the reigning pharaohs. We read at the beginning of this talk the biblical record of the national crisis that overtook the mighty empire of ancient Babylon when Darius the Mede destroyed the Babylonian rulers and took their empire. That chapter of history was repeated when Medo-Persia in turn was taken over by the Grecian Empire and when it in turn was subjugated by Rome. The decline and fall of the Roman Empire following Rome's involvement in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was another major crisis from which we in our day and generation can learn a great deal. The prophetic scriptures foretell a series of world crises yet to come. The translation of the universal church of Jesus Christ, when he appears to remove his spiritually reborn people from this earth, certainly will precipitate a worldwide crisis the like of which mankind has never known before. The same is true of the predicted emergence of the godless Antichrist on the world scene, and the series of steps by which he will gain acceptance as the supreme head of a ruthless, totalitarian world government. The result will be a continuous state of universal crises, which Christ himself described in these words, "Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved." What does God intend we should learn from the record of these various crises that he has preserved for our instruction? That is what we'll endeavor to find out as we proceed with this series of talks. I hope you'll join us at your radio and that you'll invite others to listen also. As we close this introductory talk, may I underscore 2 things. First, because God is the sovereign Lord of all things, no crisis can happen in your life, in your community, in your country, or in the world without his permissive will. That is why once you open your life to his Son, Jesus Christ, and receive him as your personal Savior and Lord, you can rest in confidence, knowing that whatever he permits will in the end redound to your good. You are absolutely safe in the hollow of his hand no matter what happens. Remember that, my Christian friend, when the dire predictions of prophets of doom create a sense of foreboding as to what the future holds in store. Secondly, the most unique and awesome crisis of all time occurred when mortal men deliberately nailed their own Creator on the cross of Calvary. There has never been a greater demonstration of the blindness and viciousness and folly that man's alienation from God has inflicted on the human race. And yet God, in his omnipotence and love for unworthy human beings, turned that hour of crisis into the most resounding victory this universe will ever know. Through the death of His Son, God opened a way, the one and only way, whereby we who are guilty sinners, undeserving of mercy and forgiveness, may freely receive both. He accomplished that miracle by imputing all our sins and iniquities to Jesus Christ, so that when He died on the cross, He died as a substitute sin-bearer in our place, that we might be forgiven and restored to eternal fellowship with God. After Christ, who His death had borne in our place the full penalty for all our sins, God raised Him from the dead. He is alive today at God's right hand. He invites you in His written word, the Bible, and through the divine person of the Holy Spirit, who brings His sweet influence to bear in your life, to come to Him just as you are and receive His forgiveness and the priceless gift of eternal life which He offers to all who commit their lives to Him. What has been your response to His invitation? If you've never done so before, won't you open your heart and life to Him today? If you will, bow your head and tell Him so.
I know that the Lord used the previous message from God's Word in your life. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're so concerned about people growing in their faith and growing closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We also know that there'll be many listening to this broadcast who have never had a personal relationship with the God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the gospel is very simple in that it's just a matter of exercising faith and believing. The scriptures are very clear. The scriptures tell us that all of us have sinned. All of us have done wrong things, said bad things, done bad things. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, which means we can't come into God's presence because God's a holy God. The scriptures also tell us that the wages of sin, in other words, the payment for our sins is death, spiritual death, as well as physical death, separation from God forever and ever and ever in a place that's not a pleasant place. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The scriptures go on to say that as many as receive Him, unto them gave He the right to become children of God. I trust today that you will take time to ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life.
This month, we would like to make available a booklet about prayers that make a difference in our adult children's lives. Career choices, sense of purpose, and important decisions, health, marriage, and vital relationships. Financial struggles, emotional trials, and walk with God. Each prayer also includes a scripture verse to reflect on through your day. To order your copy of the booklet, The Power of Praying for Your Adult Children, written by Stormy O'Martin, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, zip code L2R7A7, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Visit www.missiongo.org or email us at tjcampbellmissiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers.